coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
The Gospel of Mark, a Bible study with Arno Bessel, pastor of St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Devon.
Welcome to the series of studies on the Gospel of St. Mark. Storms can produce great fear in people and cause huge damage. The evangelist tells us about a storm faced by the disciples of Jesus and how they got over it. We read in Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 41. Jesus calms a storm. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat just as he was, and other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this that even wind and sea obey him?" Jesus had been very busy during the day teaching the crowds. He asked his close followers to go across the Sea of Galilee in a boat he used to teach earlier. The crossing took place from the western side of the Sea of Galilee to the eastern shore, leaving the predominantly Jewish region of Galilee for the more Gentile region of the Gerasenes. Exhausted as he was, Jesus laid down in the stern of the boat and fell asleep. This gives us a picture of Jesus according to his human nature. As a man, his physical strength got tired from work, and he needed to rest, as we do. All seemed to go well till a great wind storm arose. The Sea of Galilee is situated in a basin 700 feet below sea level and is surrounded by a mountain range. The peak of the mountain range is the Mount Hermon, of 9,200 feet high. When the westerly winds coming off this mountain collide with the warm air over the lake, sudden and violent storms are sometimes produced. It might have been one of these sudden storms that struck the boat Jesus and his disciples were in. They found themselves in danger because the waves were breaking into the boat so that the boat was already filling. Among the sailors were experienced fellows, fishermen by trade, who certainly did their best to maintain the boat afloat. However, they felt their resources and skills were running out. What could be done? Well, one of the occupants lay there peacefully asleep. Apparently unhappy with Jesus' carelessness, the sailors called out, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Much more than a teacher, but the Lord over all forces, including the forces of nature, Jesus rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. From Jesus' previous teachings and wonders, the disciples should have learned that having Jesus in the boat, no harm could strike them. But very much like us, the disciples were afraid and lacked faith in a crucial moment in their lives. In face of the wonder of calming the storm, the disciples realized who Jesus really was and what he can do for frightened followers. He is able to govern and command the forces of nature and much more our stormy lives. Jesus is more than a miracle worker. He is the Son of God, the Lord of Lords, who shelters us in dangers, who calms all storms in our lives, and above all, who rescues us from eternal loss and transports us into His heavenly kingdom. Following the calming of the storm, Jesus and His disciples arrived at the other side of the Sea of Galilee. This account is registered in the Gospel of Mark chapter 5, verses 1 to 20. First, let us consider how Jesus' heart went out to a man deeply distressed. Jesus heals a man with a demon. They came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gerasenes. And when Jesus had stepped out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. He lived among the tombs, and no one could bind him any more, not even with a chain, for he had often been bound with shackles and chains, but he wrenched the chains apart, and he broke the shackles in pieces. No one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains he was always crying out and bruising himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and fell down before him. Jesus arrived at the east side of the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Gerasenes, a mainly Gentile area. When he got out of the boat, he was met by a man with an unclean spirit. The evangelist Mark records three episodes in which Jesus cast out unclean or demonic spirits. Each account exhibits a similar structure: opening conflict, exorcism, and finally, dismay and praise. In the present case, the man was completely subdued and overtaken by demons. He lived among tombs. In this region, archaeologists have unearthed cavern tombs, that is, man-made caves carved out of rocky outcroppings. These tombs were large enough to provide living space. Very poor people often lived in such caves. In folk piety, graveyards were believed to be the haunts of ghosts and disembodied spirits. This demon-possessed man spent his miserable life among the tombs. He exhibited incredible strength. Nothing could detain him, not even chains. He used to crying out and cutting himself with stones. Demons drove this man to inflict wounds on himself. Of course, nobody, not even family members, would dare to have a man in such dreadful condition living at home. The evangelist continues his record in chapter 5, verses 7 to 13. And crying out with a loud voice, he said, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God, do not torment me." For he was saying to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." And Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" He replied, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he begged him earnestly not to send them out of the country. Now a great herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside, and they begged him, saying, "Send us to the pigs, let us enter them." So he gave them permission. And the unclean spirits came out and entered the pigs, and the herd, numbering about 2,000, rushed down the steep bank into the sea and were drowned in the sea. The demons and the man were confronted by Jesus. They fell on their knees and shouted very loud. They knew that Jesus is the Son of the Most High God and begged him not to torment them. They realized they could not stand in the presence of Jesus and fight his power because he came to destroy them. Jesus asked the demon-possessed man to reveal his name. "Legion," he said, "for we are many." The expression "legion" comes from the Roman military. Roman legions were legendary for their ferocity and ability to impose their will upon others. So in the present case, the man was possessed by a legion of demons, reminding us they are numerous. In one moment, the demons tried to gain control over Jesus by invoking his name. In the next moment, they begged Jesus not to expel them too far away, fearful of being sent into eternal punishment. They begged Jesus to send them to the pigs and enter them. Jesus gave permission, and the demons came out of the man and entered the pigs. Now dominated by demons, the large number of about 2,000 pigs rushed down the steep bank into the Sea of Galilee. They were drowned. The death of the pigs powerfully attests that the hold of the demons over this poor man was finally loosed. While the man was freed from the dominion of the demons, the herdsmen suffered a big loss. How did they react? The evangelist Mark tells us in chapter 5, verses 14 to 20. The herdsmen fled and told it in the city and in the country, and people came to see what it was that had happened. And they came to Jesus and saw the demon-possessed man, the one who had had the legion, sitting there, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And those who had seen it described to them what had happened to the demon-possessed man and to the pigs. And they began to beg Jesus to depart from their region. As he was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed with demons begged him that he might be with him. And he did not permit him, but said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." And he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and everyone marveled. The herdsmen did not only report the loss of the pigs to their owners, but also recounted what Jesus had done to the demon-possessed man. Was Jesus prosecuted for causing a huge loss of property? Was he liable to pay compensation to the owners of the pigs? This would probably be the procedures in our days. The evidence could not be hidden. The demon-possessed man was free. His former horrible and miserable condition was over. He enjoyed a new life, sitting there, dressed and in his right mind. All this brought about such amazement that people asked Jesus to depart from their region. Probably some of them were afraid of suffering additional loss. Having been restored to health and normal life, the man begged to go with Jesus. Jesus, however, said no. Why? Because the man was given a task to do in his neighborhood. Others should know what happened to him and who performed the amazing wonder. First, the man's family should know how much the Lord had done for him and how he had had mercy on him. Though Jesus had commanded silence after healing others, in this case he encouraged the man to share the good news of his deliverance. And the man followed enthusiastically Jesus' advice and spread the word in numerous communities. What was the result? Everyone marveled. What remarkable mercy and kindness Jesus shows to people in need. He rescues people from the power of the devil and the grave itself, and then encourages them to give witness to the good news of love and salvation. Jesus continues the same today. He is there for you. In the sequence of events, Jesus meets people in desperate needs. The evangelist Mark tells us in his Gospel chapter 5, verses 21 to 24, the request of Jairus. And when Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered about him, and he was beside the sea. Then came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and seeing him, he fell at his feet and implored him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, so that she may be made well and live." And he went with him. And a great crowd followed him and thronged about him. Jesus is back to the western side of the Sea of Galilee, surrounded by a great crowd. Among them was a ruler of the synagogue, a layman responsible for the local house of worship, a kind of caretaker. His name was Jairus. He was deeply distressed. Being a father who loved his family, Jairus was concerned about the health and life of his daughter. He humbly approached Jesus in the hope that he could do something for his dying daughter. He fell at Jesus' feet and implored him earnestly. Jairus must have heard that Jesus healed others, so he was confident Jesus could save his daughter. He asked Jesus, "Come and lay your hands on her, so that she may be made well and live." Jesus had healed with a touch before. He was perfectly capable of effecting cures simply by saying the word. We notice that Jairus believed in Jesus. Jesus answered Jairus' request and went with him. But apparently they were quite a long distance away from Jairus' home, and apart from that, while Jesus was on the way, another pressing need is brought to Jesus. The evangelist Mark tells us in chapter 5, verses 25 to 34, about an ill woman. "And there was a woman who had had a discharge of blood for 12 years, and who had suffered much under many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard the reports about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, 'If I touch even his garments, I will be made well.' And immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, 'Who touched my garments?' And his disciples said to him, 'You see the crowd pressing around you, and yet you say, "Who touched me?" And he looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." The woman had a discharge of blood, likely a uterine hemorrhage. She was suffering from this illness 12 years already. In spite of the help the woman sought from physicians and all the money she had spent, the health conditions grew worse. She was in a hopeless condition, as far as human resources are concerned. Today, there are many people suffering in the same way. Sometimes nothing can be done except bearing the pain. The woman, however, had heard about Jesus' former wonders. She trusted it being enough to touch Jesus' garment to be healed. "If I touch even his garments, I will be made well," she said. The faith of the woman got a marvelous answer. She was healed immediately. Jesus perceived that power had gone out from him. So he asked, "Who touched my garments?" Obviously, he knew, but he asked the question in the sense of encouraging the woman to confess her faith. The woman came in fear and trembling and fell down before Jesus and told him the whole truth. According to religious beliefs in those days, the illness of blood discharge involved impurity and thus left the woman open to the charge that she had defiled Jesus by touching him. Jesus revealed understanding, compassion, and love. He gently spoke words of comfort and healing to her, saying, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." The faith of the woman was not the main cause of her healing. Rather, her faith was the means whereby healing was received from the outpouring of Jesus' power and grace. Faith is that which freely obtains God's mercy, and peace naturally flows from the reception of Jesus' mercy. Having healed the woman, the daughter of Jairus required urgent attention. The evangelist Mark tells us in chapter 5, verses 35 to 43. While he was still speaking, there came from the ruler's house some who said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." And he allowed no one to follow him except Peter and James and John, the brother of James. They came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and Jesus saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. And when he had entered, he said to them, "Why are you making a commotion and weeping? This child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. But he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. Taking her by the hand, he said to her, "Talitha kumi," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." And immediately the girl got up and began walking, for she was 12 years of age, and they were immediately overcome with amazement. And he strictly charged them that no one should know this, and told them to give her something to eat. In cases of emergency, time is a vital element. We can imagine Jairus anxiously waiting for Jesus reaching his home. Meanwhile, news is brought that the girl had died. According to human understanding, there was no reason to trouble Jesus any longer. Death puts an end to any human effort and hope. It is the end. Not for Jesus, however. Jesus assures the grieving father of hope, "Do not fear, only believe." Now Jesus arrives at Jairus' house. Relatives, friends, and neighbors are gathered. There was a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. Jesus, however, states, "The child is not dead, but sleeping." People laughed at Jesus. The reaction of laughing shows that people did not understand yet who Jesus was and what he can do even when death strikes someone. The girl had, in fact, died, but Jesus was about to awaken her as easily as from a natural sleep. Because of the Lord's mastery over death and the resurrection promise, the New Testament repeatedly speaks of death in terms of sleeping. At that moment, Jesus wants to have close to himself only three of his disciples, Peter, James, and John. They formed something of an inner circle among the 12 apostles. Besides the three disciples, Jesus also wanted to have with him the father and mother of the diseased girl. He takes the girl's hand and says, "Talitha kumi, I say to you, arise." Talitha kumi is an Aramaic expression for, "Young one, arise." At Jesus' call, the girl came back to life. Amazing. The power of these simple words from Jesus' lips was such that those witnessing their effect never forgot them. Likewise, on other occasions of healing, Jesus strictly charged the beneficiaries to keep the wonder for themselves, because spreading the news could further misconceptions about the Messiah. The great popularity of Jesus with the people, coupled with the growing opposition from the religious leaders, could have precipitated a crisis before Jesus' ministry was completed. Like Jairus, we often worry that the Lord's delay in answering our prayers may end up in catastrophe. But Jesus Christ, who himself overcame death by rising from the dead, never runs out of time. In fact, his gracious promise is that we shall rise on the last day and share eternal life with him. Thank you for joining us in the series of studies on the Gospel according to St. Mark. You are warmly invited to be with us again in the next study.
Thank you for listening to this Bible study on the Gospel of Mark with Pastor Arno Bessel. The podcasts of this program can be downloaded from our website at lutheranradio.co.uk. And for more information about Pastor Arno Bessel and St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Devon, go to lutheran.co.uk and click on directory. Check our program online and stay tuned for more.